League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Points podcast on 24 Swish. I'm joined by Aaron, Ibi and Abs. Yanni's not in the house with us today. He's out of town with a little toothache going on. Yeah. Really and truly, he's just crying because Chris Paul is no longer in the NBA playoffs. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up. And if you're listening via your favorite podcast streaming service, make sure you subscribe so you can stay up to date with the latest and every episode that comes out from the Talking Points podcast. How you guys been? You all good?
Good, yeah.
Feeling good. How are you?
I feel amazing.
I've been fantastic. You know, it's a great day. The sun's shining.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have you recovered from, you know,
the loss? Push them extras.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. We okay.
I'm as good as I can be. You know, okay. You know. But I'm looking forward to next season.
Already,
season's already finished. It's got to be done. I'm looking forward to next season, and a lot of the teams looking forward to next season. We're in the house last night for the NBA draft lottery.
So we get started early today.
Already.
That's the biggest news. We're going to be running down the topics of the NBA right now. We're going to look through the draft lottery last night. Then we're going to do a little preview of the two conference final games that are coming up. So let's start with the draft lottery. Of course, a lot of people were surprised that New Orleans came away with the number one pick. I want to know, what were your immediate reactions to the news that New Orleans had got pretty much Zion in the bag?
I woke up in the middle of the night and just said, New Orleans? Because I was asleep. I literally looked at my phone and I said, New Orleans? What does that mean?
Did you dropped in the group chat, didn't
it? No, it was Jermaine.
Okay, yeah.
I had a 6% chance of winning.
Yeah, it did make sense.
The whole order, the whole top like seven, didn't make any sense.
Yeah, Lakers jumping up to four.
Makes no sense.
New York dropping, well, they
were third.
I don't know why everyone expected them to get the number one pick.
Because it was top three.
The whole ESPN segment was just talking about New York and Zion.
You know, once they get like hold of a storyline, they just want to run with it.
Yeah, it's the Knicks.
But surely, what, back in the day, it's like tanking or being the worst team, was it guaranteed?
It was like 24%.
They've changed the odds, so now the bottom three teams all had a 14.5% chance at the number one pick. And then obviously, as you go down, the odds decrease. So the Lakers only really had like a 1% chance of even making the top four, and they got the fourth pick. They've done really well in the lottery over the last how many years. They actually got a better pick than the Cleveland Cavaliers. If a year ago, when we go back and talk about LeBron leaving the Cavs and going to the Lakers, we would have expected that we'd be here right now talking about the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals and the Cavs getting number one pick. But the way the universe works, the Lakers have somehow come out number four, the Cavs are number five. Yeah. If you're New Orleans, you've got that number one pick in the bag. You've got pretty much control of the two most valuable assets in the NBA right now. You've got Zion Williamson. They're just going to assume that he's going to be the number one pick. And Anthony Davis, what is your move? Are you keeping them both? Are you trading one? What do you do with it?
You could wait and see what KD announces and see if you can make a play for that. You can see what Kyrie announces and see if you can make a play for that. And then try and build from there. Or you can hold Zion for ransom and say who wants Zion.
I guess offers will come to you.
Yeah. So you're basing it on keeping Anthony Davis, trading Zion and getting another star to play alongside Anthony Davis in New Orleans.
If they're serious, I think, that would be a good move because they're in a very strong position all of a sudden.
Well, would you consider trading Anthony Davis for potentially some young stars or another lottery pick or two if you can somehow muster that in a trade?
I'd do that because isn't it Davis almost free agent?
One year left.
Yeah, I wouldn't plan on keeping him. He seems like he's ready to go as well. I'd probably be willing to give up both of them to see what I can get out of it. If he can give me a superstar player, like, I don't know, maybe KD or someone else. But yeah, I'd probably be looking to get rid of both of them because I don't think New Orleans want Zion as much as other teams do, even though obviously he's promising.
So you think they'll get rid of the number one pick and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, in probably, I don't know what they'd get, but probably a star and like future round picks as well.
But isn't the whole point of getting a star to play him with Anthony Davis to make him want to stay?
I don't think they can keep him. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Ibi, what are your thoughts?
I feel like the Pelicans, their number one, now that they've secured the number one pick, now their focus is how do we keep Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
So if they can parlay Zion Williamson into another star just to show that we're serious about keeping Anthony Davis.
Who would you have your eye on to pair with Anthony Davis?
Well, I don't. It can't really be a free agent because no free agents are going to.
Well, the idea would be you trade Zion for another star and then try and clear out your cap space to get a free agent. And all of a sudden, New Orleans could be the best team in the league.
This is true. Who would I trade? I'm not even sure. But if I'm New Orleans, that's my number. That's my go-to. And then if not, if Anthony Davis is still just like I don't want to be here, this is dead. Forget all of this. Then just trade Anthony Davis, and you're in a position of power now because no one has the number one pick. Maybe the Knicks. Maybe you want the number three pick because that's what RJ Barrett, and Zion Williamson, they have a thing. So they're working from a position of power now. If I'm them, I'm trading Anthony Davis. I'm keeping Zion Williamson because Zion Williamson. I'm not trading away Zion Williamson.
Jersey sales are going to sell out. The New Orleans ticket office, the lines actually crashed.
Oh, they love
within,
it.
Within 1 minute of them getting a number one pick.
Listen.
Their pre-bookings for next season. They've never had so many fans want to come and watch games at the Smoothie King Center.
There we go.
Such a... The name.
Quite a contrast from Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
if you are the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, what is your move now? Because you were pretty much fixed on getting Zion and getting KD and all of these moves. What is your play and your plan of action right now?
Man, hope and pray KD and Kyrie come, man.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you can really do.
Are you trying to flip that number three pick, or are you trying to put a young star in place with those two guys?
I think it depends. I think all of it rests on whether or not you get a big free agent. Because if you get a big free agent, let's say you get KD. Maybe you don't get Kyrie, but you get KD. You can then maybe trade the number three pick for Anthony Davis, maybe. Maybe you're like, hey, New Orleans, you can have the number one pick and the number three pick, and then just go full rebuild with two top three prospects and just figure it out from there. And maybe you trade on, I don't know who else they got, Mitchell Robinson or whoever the hell they want. So if I'm the Knicks, I'm doing that. But it all depends on whether or not they get a free agent, which, again, who knows, this up in the air.
It's down to the player, really.
It's down to the player, so...
And they could put Jrue Holiday into the mix as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel so sorry for him, man.
Jrue Holiday's a great player.
He's a great player, but the only reason he said that, part of the main reason he signed long-term in New Orleans is because Anthony Davis was there.
Ooh.
Anthony Davis wants to leave. Jrue Holiday, if he stays, is going to be there with a bunch of 19-year-olds. Kids,
which could be great. It could turn out to be like one of the best times ever.
Yeah, but they're not going to win straight away. It's very unlikely. Yeah, they're not going to win straight away.
It's mad because New Orleans... I think their main focus is trying to convince AD. And if he's really said, I don't care, I'm leaving, then what you said, get rid of him and try and rebuild around Zion.
Yeah.
I just can't think of a player that would make AD go, maybe I will stay. I don't know.
Unless they traded the name and everyone for LeBron.
No chance. But the Lakers could package their number four pick with some of their younger guys, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, maybe even Josh Hart, to try and acquire Anthony Davis. And that way New Orleans are left with some great young players and the number one and the number four pick, which is probably arguably one of the most attractive trade proposals from a New Orleans standpoint.
Yeah.
So that's intriguing. A lot of people are talking about this being a three-player draft, with Zion obviously being the primary focus. Then RJ, his teammate from Duke, and also Ja Morant, who had a spectacular season in college. People are saying the talent kind of drops off after that. I don't know if you guys were watching the ESPN show about the draft last night, but the entire show is pretty much focused around Zion Williamson. And even when they had RJ Barrett come and join them for an interview, they were asking him about Zion.
That's so disrespectful.
Do you think that some of these players coming out of draft, they're elite prospects, some of them were five-star recruits out of high school, elite college players, they're going to have a bigger chip on their shoulder when they get to the league.
Oh, they're coming for his neck.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're coming for his neck.
I think whoever gets drafted in the first 10, they're going to be like, okay.
Was that on, yeah?
Yeah, they're like, all right, cool, show me something.
Do you remember when Lonzo was coming out of college and everyone was talking about Lonzo Ball?
Yeah.
And then he came to the league and you saw one of his first games, Patrick Beverley was just bullying him. Do you think Zion's going to get that same treatment from players in the league? Because
they can try.
They can try.
They want to put him in his place.
A big boy.
He's a big guy, but at the end of the day, he's an 18-year-old kid. This is a grown man league.
To be fair, Zion has always been like the strongest and the biggest person he's like played with.
Oh, yeah.
So
if he joined the league now, he would be the second heaviest player in the NBA.
Exactly. But even though he's heavy, like the NBA, like you said, is grown men. These are men.
Yeah.
You're big, you're strong, but you're still going to be 18, 19. So they can get into his head. They can like push him around. I feel like out of all of the draft prospects, I feel like I don't want to say he's going to have the hardest time adjusting, but he has like a weird skill set. I feel like it's not going to be as easily transferable as someone like Ja Morant or who we just said his name.
RJ Barrett.
Yeah. I feel like they're like NBA ready.
He's got the target on his back as well, so he hasn't got time to feel it. I think New Orleans could be a good pick because the spotlight won't be on him as much. Say if he went to a Lakers or New York Knicks, spotlights can be directly on him. With New Orleans, he's still going to have the spotlight on him, but it's not the double jeopardy of New York, Zion, expectations to change all of their thoughts and minds. Because everyone thought until yesterday, Zion, KD, Kyrie, Knicks to the playoff finals.
I'm so happy you didn't go to the Knicks.
How tall is Zion as well? He's like 6.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Something as well.
6'7".
It is going to be tough. I think it's going to be very tough for him.
What position does he play?
Because I don't know what position he's going to play as well.
Well, that's the thing. When Draymond came out of college, he got drafted in the second round because a lot of people didn't think he had a power forward or small forward defined position. But what you find is talent rises to the top. And if you're a talented player, you find ways to impact the game that you don't necessarily need a position. You're seeing more and more positionless basketball in the NBA. You're seeing teams like Milwaukee, for example, where Giannis is becoming their primary ball handler. So he's the one who brings the ball up in transition anyway. So, you know, I was more gutted that Atlanta didn't get the number one pick because I was really looking forward to Trae Young, John Collins, Zion Williamson. That would possibly be the most fun team to watch next season. And if we fast forward 5 to 10 years, they would be an absolute disgusting force.
The thing is, Vince Carter would still be there in 5 to 10 years.
he would have been the perfect mentor.
Perfect, trust me. Would have been beautiful.
But anyway, let's talk about a few names. Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
These are people.
Mm-hmm. What do they all have in common?
They are winners. They are fantastic players.
Superstars.
They're in the conference final.
Hey. That's correct. The other thing they have in common is none of them were picked top three. So we're seeing the 4 teams in the conference finals being led by teams or players that weren't top 3 selections.
Yeah.
So especially with the chip on the shoulder coming from everyone focusing on Zion, I don't think teams should be too upset. You know, if you're talking about the Lakers or you're talking about any of the other teams that dropped down in the lottery, I think player development is far more important than just acquiring a top pick, because if you acquire a solid player anywhere in a draft and you develop them, you can end up in the conference finals. And we saw game 1 of the Western Conference Finals last night, the Golden State Warriors led by Steph Curry up against Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers. What were your thoughts about that game?
It's expected.
Mayday.
Was anyone thinking of like a shock? Like a Leicester City type run for the Portland Trailblazers?
I
think when they beat OKC, I was like, And then when they won Game 7, I was like, oh, but then I realised, oh, it's the Warriors. Like, they're not going to be the Warriors.
When Dame didn't show up in Game 7 against Nuggets, I was like, okay, this is going to be battering when they get to face Golden State. I don't know what happened to him in Game 7. I don't know. Maybe with OKC, he had a fire in his belly because it was against Russ.
Yeah.
But, Steph and Clay, they're going to shoot them home. They'll be done by next week.
I mean, 100%. Hopefully it's not too late just for the fans, because I would like to see it go maybe to game 6 or 5. I don't want to sweep.
Yeah, I don't want the Warriors to finish in four and then have time to plan for the finals. I want them to be tired.
And I feel like Lillard could maybe have something left in him.
I hope so.
Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
you know, like.
But I mean,
in my head, there was like a.
This game is.
There
game
was like
one.
you know, you have that tiny, tiny thought in the back of your head, like, what if this is the year of the underdog? You know, like, what if they could just pull off the craziest? Yeah. And after watching last night's game, that tiny thought gone.
Steph Curry was open all the time.
Yeah.
Why was Steph Curry always open? Of all the people.
I mean, it is game one.
Nah, it's finished.
If they win game two, So if they win game two, you don't think...
Yeah, where is the fact?
But it's like,
if they win game two, then it's
on. You can't make
too
much of a judgment after just one game, or you end up looking like Paul Pierce. But
that was a terrible take, though. That's
all-time cold take.
All-time coldest take of all
Even
time.
I wasn't saying that.
There we go. They said they're not going to win another game. Come on, man.
That's mad.
But you can't make too much of just one game. Like, if you look at the regular season series,
of course.
Dame put up over 28 points against the Warriors, shooting over 50% from deep. Do you think you pull out one or two of those at home? Probably. Maybe even up the series? Because, you know, after the Houston round in Golden State, after the first two games, it was looking like it would be a sweep as well. And then James Harden put the team on his back, got them two wins at home, and made it a series that was interesting.
I disagree, because Houston were never out of those first two games.
Yeah.
They lost it, and I think everyone expected to lose it because Golden State, but it was never, we'll bring on the bench to finish off the game. It was never even close to that.
Yeah.
So I think with Portland, they're going to have to do a lot of finding in these next few days before the next game. You're absolutely right about the regular season, but that's why I look at the game seven, because if you're in yourself and not doing anything game seven against the Nuggets, hey, you better start praying to the church when you see Stephen play.
Well, what would you do if you were the coach of the Trailblazers? Terry Stotts came under fire last night because you notice the coverages of Steph Curry, especially in the pick and roll.
Coverages.
Teams. this is the thing. Teams like to double up on him to restrict his space. What Portland Trailblazers did was they dropped their big man back down to the paint, mainly because Enes Kanter would get smoked by Steph Curry. But if you do that, Steph Curry is, like you said earlier, wide open. What is your solution for stopping Steph Curry if you are the Portland coach?
Number one, there's no solution. You can't stop Steph Curry.
How do you slow him down, I guess?
Yeah, you got to be willing to let someone else open.
You got to body him, man. Just get into him.
Just get many bodies on him and be willing to maybe let someone else be open. But it's big.
Or you just trap him on every pick and roll and then hope someone else beats you.
Because
you can't, because KD's down, you know they're running all their offense through Steph. They're like moving off, cutting, all of that. If off the pick and roll, Steph Curry is wide open because Enes Kanter is in the paint. Why is Enes Kanter in the paint? Steph Curry's at the three-point line.
Because
that's
a layup
for him.
If Enes Kanter's at the three-point line, Steph Curry's just going to go around him and finish in the win.
Hey, what would you rather? Him going around you? Or just it wouldn't matter if it was like James Harden open three, maybe he would make him Steph Curry of all people. You want him open at the 3-point line?
Yeah,
I'm not saying I want him.
That was the game plan they want.
With what Ibi's saying, I guess you got to consider. Would you?
If I'm coaching against Steph Curry, I've got to play a picking up full court as soon as the ball. I'm not even letting him catch the inbounds pass.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make that man have nightmares. Do you know what I mean? But they clearly have different ideas. But this isn't even Golden State at their full force. No. They've, of course, got Kevin Durant returning. How much of a difference will that make to this series? Because if you're coaching the Warriors and you've destroyed Portland in game one, would you be inclined to let Kevin Durant rest even more ahead of the NBA Finals? Or would you try and bring him back to get him back into his rhythm? And how much of a difference will that make to the series?
I think it falls on game two. It depends on how Golden State take game two. If they have another like successful win like they did in game one, I'd probably sit KD out until maybe if they win a game, then I'd bring KD back in.
I want to ask you this. Who would be a bigger loss for you as coach of the Warriors, losing Kevin Durant or losing Stephen Curry?
Losing Steph because of the attachment to the team. Not because he's generally a bad player.
I'm talking basketball-wise on the court.
Steph. Because with Steph, just... the way teams play the Warriors, because you know Steph, as soon as he steps past half court, it's an issue. Like, and he's always moving off the ball, he's moving off all of these screens, he's cutting, he's doing all of that. When it's just KD, and without Steph, I don't want to say that they're more of a regular basketball team, but they're more of a regular basketball team, as in they have a star player, and it's there's not a lot of movement. There's more ISO because KD's strength is an ISO, he's get a bucket whenever he wants. But with Steph as the main guy, like your offense is going through, there's a lot of movement. The ball's moving, open shot, whoever gets it gets the shot. It's a lot harder to defend the game plan for.
Okay, Ab's deep in thought. Ab's what you think?
Yeah, no, like what he said, it's just, it's like with Steph, it's an all-star team, but then with KD, it's a team with an all-star. And it's like,
that's a bar. Coach Ab's of the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr is coming for you.
Salute. I got that from him because the way he said it, I'm just like, yeah, because when Steph has the ball, the pace, the team, it could go anywhere. It's moving. With KD, it slows down and you kind of know where it's going to go.
In the net.
Yeah.
You're saying KD. Why are you saying KD is a bigger loss?
Over the last...
I just want to clarify. You mean as in...
KD.
Steph is not playing, but KD is playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, cool. I'm just saying, over the last three seasons, especially the last two finals, Steph, I don't want to say he's gone missing, but as Ibi says, I want to say he's gone missing. And KD... And KD's picked up, like, even the last year against the Cavs, LeBron had to play his waves off to even be close.
Yeah.
And I think it was the game three where Steph got 10. And I'm obviously, it's like 1 in 10, Steph will do that 10. But yeah, if you're playing against, when you get to the final...
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finals. That 1 in 10 is very, very sacred. And I feel like...
Wait, are you saying 1 in 10 games, Steph will only score 10 points?
Yeah. Like in when it's a pressure moment, not games. We've seen it this season.
Mo, use your words. Use your words.
We've seen it against Houston.
Use your words.
I'm just saying...
I'm a big Steph Curry fan.
Of course. No. But I'm saying that it's going to... All right. Let me not say 1 in 10. Very unlikely for it to happen.
That's better.
Okay.
Because when you put a number on it, I'm going to be watching the next 10 games and ringing you up.
Semantics.
It didn't happen.
Here what I'm saying is, since they've got... What I thought watching last night's game was it reminded me of the pre-Kevin Durant era Warriors. The way that they played and moved the ball reminded me of that 73-win team that opponents were terrified of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see when they added Kevin Durant, Steph has had to take more of a backseat. Yep.
Which is
and,
a factor.
Yeah. And I retweeted something yesterday and it was, I'll never forgive Kevin Durant for ruining 3 years of fun Steph Curry. When you see Steph Curry doing 9 3-pointers last night, just catching the ball and next thing you know it's in the bucket, is unbelievable basketball.
100%.
When Steph plays without Kevin Durant, I think they only lost one game in the season. Steph puts up over 28 points a night.
Yeah.
When Steph was injured, remember at the start of the season, they were losing to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were losing to the Dallas Mavericks, who didn't even make the playoffs. So, for me, Steph Curry, the gravity that he has on the court. What I mean by that is, when he's got the ball,
everyone is looking
at him.
Yeah.
Everyone is wary of his movement. And it goes back to what we were saying about having Enes Kanter come up on a pick and roll.
Yeah.
If Steph Curry does drive, then Klay Thompson's going to be open or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But they don't run... They do run similar sets with Kevin Durant, but... Even one of the assistant coaches of the Warriors was saying yesterday, it's a different game when KD's there because KD's so talented, you don't have to do all of that. You can just give him the ball and he'll get you a bucket, which is fantastic. But what you've got to realize
is... It's a team game, man.
What you've got to realize is when
it
Steph gets going, it opens up the game for everyone else.
It does.
You see Jonas Trebko scoring more last night than he did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You saw Kevon Looney getting 24 minutes and playing...
having a great day.
Do you know what I mean? So the fact that Steph brings all that attention, all the fantastic skills that he has. It encourages his teammates. It gets them in rhythm, and they play better as a team. Whereas an offensive, yo, Kevin, you're sick. Have the ball and get us a bucket.
Yeah.
It's cool when you're in the fourth quarter with 1 minute left. But Steph can do that himself.
He can.
And I don't think it's fun. You know, the Warriors, before Kevin Durant joined, they were a fun team.
Oh, everyone loved the Warriors.
And overnight, they transitioned into the villains of the NBA.
Yeah.
And last night was a flashback to the fun Golden State side and a preview to the Golden State that we might see next season. And I'm looking ahead next season, if Kevin Durant does go, like many people are saying, how badly do you think that impacts? Do you think they can still win the West?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
I think, like we've said, because it's been 3 years of KD on the Warriors, we've just... Everyone's just forgotten who Steph Curry is, who Steph Curry can be.
Preach.
Yeah. So he's showing you, especially like game six against the Rockets. He didn't score in the first half at all. And came out and had 33 in the second half. Only Steph Curry can do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Only Steph Curry can do that.
I don't feel like you want Steph Curry to give you that work. Like that guy.
Steph Curry's more demoralizing.
Days, yeah. He's Steph Curry, yeah, it hurts more.
It hurts more.
Because he will have a stinker as a half, as you said, and then come on and shoot you to hell.
Come on.
And he doesn't bring any of the other issues.
No.
You know, he's not going to jump on Twitter on a fake account after the game. And,
that's why...
He's beating up fans and he's not going to be calling...
Steph Curry loves
Jesus,
man.
Yeah. But as I said originally, if you're talking about the team morale, then Steph Curry. But talent-wise... That KD man, he's a bad boy.
One-on-one. I agree with you. If you're talking one-on-one basketball, but...
Obviously, yeah.
But unfortunately, the NBA is not a one-on-one game. But we're going to be seeing a great one-on-one matchup when these two...
Segway!
Face against each other in the Eastern Conference Finals when Giannis leads the Bucks against Kawhi and the Raptors. Let's first of all, before we get into a preview of that series, what were your reactions to the shot that everyone in the world has seen at this point? That Game 7, bounce, bounce, bounce... Bucket.
I stopped breathing. Why? I stopped breathing.
Second greatest shot I've ever seen in my life.
What's number one?
Ray Allen.
Game 6 of the Miami Heat Arena.
You know it. Ray Allen shot. Most iconic.
Ray Allen's my guy, and I ain't saying nothing. But
that's up there.
That was different.
That's up there.
That was completely different.
That's different because you're emotionally attached to Miami Heat.
Yeah. No, but that was so. They were out.
When I talk about my favorite shot, I could talk about one of my. But this shot,
was amazing.
Everyone who watches this channel knows I'm not a Raptors fan. Yeah. But you see the way my heart was racing, secretly hoping the ball missed.
would you say it was better than when LeBron shot out Raptors last year?
I'll tell you, this was the best shot I've seen.
Yeah.
Best shot you've seen.
Not the best shot that I've seen, but the best moment.
100%.
The shot itself was very lucky. Yeah.
You need a better luck.
Four bounces. But this was the biggest, the arena went silent. You could hear the ball clanging off the rim, and everyone's just looking up. And you see all the pictures. Yeah. You see these pictures.
It's a renaissance picture.
Everyone is a meme.
Yeah.
Every single person is a meme. And that moment there is iconic in Raptors franchise history because if we go back to 2001, the Sixers played the Raptors in the Eastern Conference semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, the Bucks were waiting for them in the final. Vince Carter took the same shot, but on the other half of the court, but from the same spot in the corner, the exact same way, but the shot rimmed out.
Ah.
So this has come full circle for the shot. It's almost as if it was destined to go in.
Time way segue.
Yeah, look at that.
It's almost as if it was destined to go in.
It was.
But are they destined to beat
the Milwaukee Bucks? I'm going back to the shot because that was a great point. Only reason with LeBron, because he was taking the absolute mick out of them in Toronto, I felt like he was like, we're just going to do it like this.
I think the LeBron one was expected.
Yeah.
Because LeBron...
But the way he shot that.
I think the power he
sums up the relationship between LeBron and Toronto.
Yeah, LeBron the power he has over the North is crazy.
Yeah. That's fair.
But...
This shot... I screamed. Like, I genuinely... Me and my brother, we screamed at, like, 2 or whatever time of the morning it was. But, hey, the Bucks...
Bucks are a different animal compared to the Philadelphia 76ers.
You know about the Bucks, don't you?
The Bucks are a different animal.
It's going to be
I would like to hear your takes on the Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't know, you know.
That's
This is going to be great.
I don't know.
Because I don't know if I trust your opinions on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Why?
Because you told me they would lose to the Miami Heat in a 7-game series.
Because we believe in Pat Riley and our coach. It's different.
The same way you believe in your team is the exact same way you believe in ours.
Yeah, but your team didn't even make playoffs. So
it doesn't matter.
You have no reason to believe.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the same team.
Our teams are both at home.
They're both at the same club at home.
Yeah. The only difference is Hassan Whiteside's at your house, not mine.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking?
Milwaukee and Raptors.
Let's go through first, yeah? Predictions. Who and in how many games? Straight off the bat.
Bucks and 6.
Bucks.
In?
6. Bucks in 7. Just going to give you a home advantage.
Bucks in 7.
What about you?
This is a tough one for me.
Because you hate Toronto.
No. I don't hate Toronto.
I just hate Toronto.
I was breaking this down the other day because, you know what, after Kawhi hit that shot,
yeah.
You know what, my inbox, bruv, it was, what time was it? 1 a.m, 2 a.m?
Yeah.
2 a.m, because Game of Thrones was on, yeah. My phone blew up. Usually my phone blows up at 2 a.m, I'm a happy man. But this time, it was just Raptors fans mad at me for hating on the Raptors. And they were all messaging me, are you going to apologize? Are you going to apologize? So any Raptors fans watching, I will apologize if you win a championship.
Ooh.
But until then, there will be no apologies served. So what?
No, that's a big deal.
That's massive.
What, coming second?
Oh my God.
Is that a big deal to you?
Better than coming fifth, fourth, sixth,
bro, the way them. I was raised, this championship or bust. No prize of second place.
Yeah, well.
And no apologies for second place either. But, you know, the reason why it's tough for me is not only do they have two excellent superstars on both sides, the supporting cast are also very strong.
Yep.
And they all have different attributes that work in their favour. Whose supporting cast do you guys like better in terms of, take Giannis and Kawhi out of the picture. We're talking about all the other guys on the team. Who has the stronger edge in that?
Okay, so Raptors have Lowry.
I don't trust them.
But then...
No, but they got Siakam. Then,
oh,
they
wait, the second half of the fourth quarter, like, can be said.
Yeah, but also...
He plays second games ever. Right?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Talking about Bledsoe, and I'm still... I feel like he might have shaky night as well.
They cancel each other out.
They cancel each other out.
Cancel each other out.
Then you got Middleton.
Middleton.
And Pascal, yeah?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think I'll give Middleton the edge.
Really?
He's a better offensive player.
Middleton's got more experience.
Yeah, he's a
better, he's a
better defensive player. Yeah. But I don't... I feel like Middleton... Let's say Giannis is off the court. I feel like Middleton can go out and just lead the team while Giannis is on the bench. Siakam's first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I get staged for it.
Yeah, so... Okay. And then... The rest of
Lopez and Gasol.
Leave it at Lopez. Gasol, he's gonna have to be out at the 3-point line.
Marc Gasol was a former defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but is he a perimeter defender though? Because that's no, where that's
being
where
Lopez a perimeter is. Defender means guys who can handle the ball that will beat you off the perimeter.
Fair.
Brook Lopez hasn't got a handle to be off the perimeter. He's just going to stand there and catch it and shoot it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to break your ankles and drive to the hoop to do a jelly layup. Do you know what I mean?
He might.
Definitely.
If I see that,
definitely will. If Brook Lopez, breaks his ankles, drives to the rim, does an up and under layup, I'll come in a full Toronto kit.
Yeah.
Shorts, everything.
Yeah. With Kyle Lowry on the back.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
You took it too far, man. Number
7.
Way too far. But so we're looking at like the benches. Who do you fancy having an edge? You've got obviously like Fred VanVleet, Pat Connaughton.
The Bucks.
Toronto benches. Toronto bench. Is Kawhi and Kobe. Yeah. In that series, it was Kawhi and Kobe.
Kawhi and them.
Kawhi and them, man. That's who it was. The Bucks is like a team.
The bench actually very
Pat much. Connaughton. Double-digit rebounds every game. I'm just looking at him like, who's this guy who can jump really... Just this white boy who can jump and get rebounds. I love it. A king. I love it.
Everyone is a king for Ibi.
Nah, that man is a king.
If you show up in the playoffs, you're a king.
Yeah, if you show up, you're a king.
You earn it.
And obviously, they got Malcolm Brogdon back. Elite defender. 50-40-90 guy. Another offensive weapon. You've got... Who else have we got on that
George
team?
Hill.
George Hill.
Oh my God.
Round of applause for George Hill, man.
He's a new man.
That man has showed up.
He's a new man.
That man is a new man.
I mean,
what's that face for? You're making faces.
We needed it last year, but hey, we're talking
about
that.
Nah, don't smile. Use your words.
I'm smiling
through
pain.
We're on video.
The PTSD that George Hill was giving me from that second round series.
Listen, man.
I'm personally thinking that Milwaukee could 4 or 5.
Eh? Sweet.
4 or 5.
Damn.
Here's why.
Oh, you hate Raptors, isn't it?
Yes. I'm joking, man. I really like Siakam. I like Leonard. I like Gasol. It's just
the rest
of them. It's the rest of them. You can't trust. You can't trust them.
No, but here's my thinking. Right. Regular season, Toronto only won one game against them. Giannis absolutely picked them apart. You know, I think the last time the Raptors came to Milwaukee to play, Giannis put up 43 and 18. Yeah. The other thing you've got to bear in mind is, whilst Kawhi was throwing up 39 shots to give his team a Game 7 win, the Bucks have been chilling at home, resting, recovering, getting back ready for this next series.
Yeah. Which game was it when Giannis was on the bench and the Bucks just went sick?
Game 2, Game 3, both of them.
It says a lot.
And, and the thing is, they've got the rhythm. They've only lost one game this postseason. Yeah. You know, it's like the Raptors, you weren't even sure if they would make it through that series.
So, and if anyone could block Kawhi, Giannis.
That's what I'm saying. They are a perfect matchup for each other because they're both elite defenders.
Oh my God.
So, you know, when I think they're going to have to match up against each other. Because who else are you going to get to go Kawhi if you're the Bucks?
It'll be like a 5-point difference between the two, like, game.
Yeah, they're going to go...
Maybe?
Say it with your chest.
I can't. That's what I'm not sure. Kawhi. Yeah, I'm not sure.
No.
Kawhi is a man.
He's not going to... I know, he's not going to stop him, but I mean...
I've dropped him recovery from injury. Yeah, I mean, little break.
On Kawhi? Yeah,
I think the Bucks and Toronto, they'll have to sacrifice their main men and rely on the supporting cast.
Can Kawhi guard Giannis?
Kawhi can guard anyone on this planet.
Yeah. Kawhi is the man.
Kawhi's a man,
right? Yeah, Kawhi guard LeBron James in the NBA Finals. How much do you think Kawhi's experience of winning Finals MVP and winning a championship is going to factor in comparison to Giannis's lack of experience?
It was, what, 2014?
It's still experience, nonetheless.
I feel like experience is overstated in the playoffs, man. I hate when people say that, they're damn experienced. All you got to do is win a game, bruv. Just win the game. Score more points than the other team.
I wish life was as simple as you described.
But in basketball, it is.
I think it'll
score
only...
more points.
Yeah, what Portland Trailblazers are doing? Just go out, just score more points, you know?
You can't. They're not as good.
I think the experience will only come into game one. Because I think we saw it in the Boston game as well, in game one, where Boston did really well. And we spoke about how Al Horford, he gave everything in game one to stop Kawhi. Not Kawhi, stop Giannis.
But that was an experience. That was, I'm tired now.
But that's, I mean.
That was the experience how they adjusted the game plan. So if the Raptors were thinking, sorry to cut you off, but if the Raptors were thinking they could do a similar game plan and use Siakam in that same role that Al Horford did, use Kawhi in that same, it's not going to happen because the Bucks did a great job of adapting on the fly.
But when I say experience, I feel like it only lasts a game one, and I can see Toronto picking up game one based on the MVP experience, but... the madman, he's a madman when he gets going, and you unleash Giannis. What are you going
to
do?
I think give credit to Milwaukee as well. Like you said, they have time to recover. They should be prepared. You don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals just thinking, you should be prepared for the next team. You should have used this time to prepare for Raptors, see how they play, have a strategy. Because like you said, it's not always experience. It's just preparation. You should be ready for the game. If you're going that far, you should be ready by now.
Yeah.
I see them winning game one.
The Bucks have already won two games in Toronto in the regular season. Toronto, I think they only lost 9 games at home.
Yeah.
But two of them were to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks have been in that arena and got the job.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Done. You were saying you think it'll go to 7 because home court's going to factor in.
Yeah.
Do you see everyone just holding home court?
Yeah, I feel.
But you also see Toronto winning game one.
I mean, because
you see Toronto winning game one.
I think I said no. I said the experience. If it's going to be a cause, it'll only be in game one. So if the experience does happen, it'll be in game one, and then
after that,
that man will come alive.
Hey man.
But if it doesn't kick in game one, I don't see it being a factor.
Listen, Bucks, man. That's a team.
Because also when you talk about experience, Kawhi's never had
a team.
Kawhi's game seven experience was a defeat, and then when they beat the Heat, which we don't talk about that yet.
They beat the who?
It doesn't matter. It was a quick turnover. So I think when it gets to that pressure of
slap to slap, man.
The game seven.
I say he's overrated.
Yeah.
I think game seven is gonna be very.
Well, we've seen Kawhi in the Game 7. Giannis has yet to experience that because he had one last year, but he's walked through the playoffs this far.
Yeah.
It's not been any problems for him, they've crushed.
Honestly, all. I know like the East don't have LeBron no more, but Giannis is still a problem. Like,
yeah. Well, I think the playoffs have been more fun this year without LeBron.
That's been less predictable.
I agree with you.
Even though my team isn't in it, I still am thoroughly enjoying this playoffs, and I think for me this has been the best NBA playoffs in a number of years.
Yeah, it's been a nice break of the LeBron conversation.
And it's LeBron on the East and Warriors on the West.
Yeah, exactly.
There was some doubt going through it. Wow. Like, the Clippers gave them a little scare. Yeah. The Rockets gave them a scare as well. Do you know what I mean? So, I think it's been exciting.
Yeah.
It has been.
It has been really good.
Because I feel like people love to think that with no LeBron, there's no NBA. But it's good to see that even when he will finish, there'll still be NBA. There'll still be teams to talk about. There'll still be players to talk about.
Yeah, he's taking that crown.
I don't know. Could be Kawhi.
I feel like whoever wins this series takes the crown of the East. Yeah, you have to just.
You think that the Raptors have to win this series to keep Kawhi?
Yeah.
I feel like Kawhi is gonna do whatever he wants. They could win the NBA championship. Kawhi could leave.
I would love that so much. That's the only way in which I would accept the Raptors being attached. Is they're so happy and then they got in a bit.
What about if like they sweep Golden State?
Then he has to stay.
He just enjoys Golden State. Yeah. KD leaves. Kawhi just joins.
Yeah. That would be hilarious.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. That'd Kawhi seems funny. Like the guy who will do whatever you want.
Because there's nothing you can say to Kawhi. Like, I mean, you join the team, you destroy it. So, you like to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
The man literally is unstoppable. And he's put the Philadelphia 76ers right back at home. For Joel Embiid's Chinese series. Who has been your favourite player?
Clap it up.
Okay, on Joel, man.
No, not Joel. I'm talking about the Sixers. Clap it up. Ben Simmons.
Wow.
Benjamin Simmons.
You're not a fan.
Listen, learn how to shoot. Yeah. Learn how to shoot. Learn how to shoot. You're an NBA player. You're a professional.
There's only so far you can do without shooting.
Get out of here, man. I read an article that they said that they should move him to the five. Small ball five.
That's
not as in on the Sixers.
But the thing is what? He can't shoot. And up until a few months ago, they said the same thing about Giannis.
But the thing with the Sixers is, and versus the Bucks, they've built the team around Giannis because Giannis is clearly their best player. So they've worked with his weaknesses.
So if you're the Sixers, are you trying to build your team around Ben Simmons or this Joel Embiid?
I'm picking Joel Embiid.
Pick you want? Are you Joel Embiid?
Embiid.
Jimmy Butler.
I mean,
Jimmy's team.
That's the right answer. That, Jimmy's team.
Hopefully.
That's a big risk to build around Joel, not ever healthy Joel Embiid. Who's been your favourite player from the playoffs so far that isn't still currently in the playoffs?
We're talking about the last round, not the first round.
We're talking about any of the players that were in the playoffs. Who has been your standout player from one of the losing teams?
One of the losing teams.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I'm trying to look past the Sixers because the Sixers are probably the best of the losers.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
To Jokic.
Jokic is a big shout.
He was really good.
There's a lot of the Nuggets players. They showed a lot of heart in this.
Oh, is it Murray?
Yeah, Murray.
I like Murray.
He's really good. Murray at the time.
I want to give a shout out to the Clippers as well.
It
seems like forever ago that they were playing the Warriors in the first round.
Because I was thinking, I wanted to say Lou, but I was like, that was time ago.
It feels like time ago, but it was just the first round of the playoffs. I think they made it, you know. Everyone was kind of expecting the Warriors to just
sweep them.
And they made them look almost human.
Yeah. Because
before that, they looked unbeatable. They've made them, they've humanized them. So now every team that goes up against them is thinking.
We could beat them.
You know what, Rockets, get Lou Will.
Get him back.
Yeah, that would help if you want to beat Golden State. I think Lou Will off the bench.
They got no more money in Houston. They gave it all to Chris Paul.
The Rockets need.
They need the
things. They need more than that. They need an offense that doesn't consist of
the bench.
ISO. Either Lou Will or Jimmy Butler. I can't see any other player who had a more outstanding performance, consistent performance anyway, than those two. No. And went out. Could say James Harden, but just James Harden.
You played well in the second round.
I don't want to give it to James Harden because he's the best player, obviously, out of all of them.
Yeah,
but. I'm kind of cheap.
I'm not saying that they played the best, but I've got big respect for Russell Westbrook and Paul George because they both...
Excuse me?
When did that happen?
Listen, both finished that series and they both had two surgeries each immediately. Those two men should not have been playing NBA basketball.
Fair enough.
The fact that they went out and played and said that they want to play rather than get surgery...
No, you're right.
They have my full respect even though they got destroyed by Damian Lillard.
So,
as bad as OKC looks, you can kind of see now why they did look so bad. And potentially next season, when they're not injured, they'll do a lot better.
I know, I hear what you're saying, but they shouldn't have been talking all that talk with their injuries.
Well, you have to. That's their DNA of their team. They're a crappy team.
And also it's going out in the first round, so...
That's part of their DNA of their team.
That's that.
Maybe if they change one part of the DNA, the other part might change. Yeah,
well, who do you guys have winning the NBA title?
Come on, man.
Golden State.
You know what?
Warriors.
The Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks, man.
Yeah, the Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks.
That would be lovely.
Giannis Finals MVP.
I would love it. Finals MVP and MVP.
I want Steph Curry
and Defensive Player of the Year one year.
I want Steph Curry to get Finals MVP because he needs one.
I want the Bucks to win and Kevin Durant to inquire about joining them.
Yes. Yes.
That would be nice.
You guys got any of that cap space?
I want Giannis to absolutely bully KD in the finals.
Now, do you know what? I had one question I asked the man yesterday just before the draft lottery happened. Who do you think... Before knowing who had the number one pick, who do you think will win next year's NBA championship? Foreshadowing whoever picks Zion and whoever signs who, what is your pick for next year, the 2020 NBA championship? Because a lot of my guys were telling me the Knicks, and then the draft lottery happened, and they were sitting there crying. So, who are you seeing?
All right. Well, we're playing like fantasy, whatnot.
We're trying to do up Mystic Mega and look into the future.
All right. KD and Kyrie are going to go to the Knicks. But then they're going to get to the East Conference Finals. Yeah. Kyrie's going to do ISO, ISO, ISO.
Yeah. He's going to lose to Giannis in the box.
We're going to get Sandra right here,
Giannis. Yeah, and they're going to lose in six to Giannis.
Okay.
On the West.
I'm asking for who's going to win a title, bro. I'm not
we have to get to the series. on the West.
I'm enjoying this. I can't like
on the West. LeBron's going to strap up his groin.
Yeah.
he's gonna get someone. I don't know who he's going to get, but he's going to get someone.
You see it, yeah?
He's going to take on Steph in the final, but he's going to get to Game 7.
Yeah.
And we know what Steph is like in them Game 7s.
Yeah.
We know what LeBron's like in them Game 7s.
We do.
And it's going to be LeBron against...
Giannis.
But then that's when the signal cuts out.
That's it.
But who's getting the Iron Throne next week?
I'm saying Bucks.
I need to know.
Brand's getting
Iron Throne. That's about as realistic as your NBA prediction. Yeah. What about you, Abs?
I'd say Bucks next year.
Give me the Bucks, man.
Are they going to double up?
Yeah. Double up.
Yeah.
What about you, Ibi?
Let me not say the Bucks because everyone else said the Bucks. If they got Zion, then I'm saying Atlanta, but they didn't, unfortunately.
Another prediction.
Wait. You thought Atlanta would win if they got Zion?
No, I'm just
checking. No, just energy, you know?
Yeah.
Another prediction. Kawhi's going to go to Atlanta. You heard it first. Don't know how. Don't know why. He's going to go.
Give me the Clippers.
The Clippers?
Yeah,
interesting.
Clippers.
Interesting.
They're getting Kawhi Leonard. They're getting someone else.
Kevin Durant.
And they're going to, KD and Kawhi in Clippers land.
They'll sort it out.
Sort it out. Running the LA Lakers.
I feel like KD would do that though. Go LA, but not Lakers. just do that.
That's some crazy predictions. We've got a long time.
What about yours?
You know what I'm gonna say.
The Celtics in 5-5-5.
Boston.
Yes. Every season. Every season that I've been alive, I've said that. But there's a long way to go until next season. We've got an exciting road to the NBA Finals as the Eastern Conference Finals get tipped off tonight. Yeah. The Western Conference Finals started last night.
Yeah.
And joining us on that road to the NBA Finals will hopefully be you guys. So make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with the latest from 24 Swish. But we want to hear from you. We're starting a new show where we answer your questions. So we want you to get involved down below in the comments. Anything at all you would like to know about the NBA, the playoffs, trades, drafts, free agency, anything at all that's on your mind.
Brexit.
And you want answered. Not Brexit, but anything else, let us know down below in the comments. And thank you guys for joining me again.
Another great week.
We've lost Abs, unfortunately.
Oh my days. Wow. Yeah.
But thank you once again. If you've been listening on your favorite podcast streaming service, make sure you subscribe. If you're on YouTube, give it a thumbs up, comment, let us know your questions, subscribe, and as always, keep it 24 Swish.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.